Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
I thank you so much for making the effort and sacrifice to be here on a weekday night. Some of you I know have to work tomorrow, so we'll try to get you out by, well, the end of the day. You're welcome. I always like to give honor where honor is due when I come and visit parishes. So I hope that you'll join me tonight in honoring your clergy and their families for the work they do here. Amen. And faithfully representing me and the church, Catholic, and ministering the word and the sacraments in this holy and blessed place. When I go around the last couple of years, you may have noticed a trend. And it's going to be holding true tonight. It's because God's really put on my heart, not in my own church all the time, but when I visit, because I only visit periodically, to really speak a strong word of encouragement and exhortation unto the body of Christ. And there's a reason for that. I think that in our culture, we're facing a tsunami of change. I really believe that part of my job as a bishop is to fortify the flock to stand in the face of that change. Because I believe that there will be Christians in our country who will not stand fast. They will falter, they will flounder, and they will fall. And I don't want anybody faltering and floundering and falling in our diocese because of my fault. Did that come out right?
Amen.
All right. But you know what I'm saying. So my word tonight is going to be another word of exhortation and encouragement for such a time as this. And I start out with a bit of a sobering word of testimony. You may recall the incident. It occurred on or around the 14th of February in the year 2015. On that day, 21 Christian martyrs were viciously and mercilessly murdered by members of the Islamic State. Rather than renouncing their faith in order to save their lives, these men died with the name of Jesus on their lips.
Amen.
As a testimony to the depth of their commitment to the one whose name they invoked. It's reported that one of those who was so beheaded was not originally a Christian at all. But upon witnessing the courage and the commitment of his fellow captives, declared to their captors, "Their faith is my faith," and died a Christian martyr. In an effort to further their terrorist agenda, the Islamic State, you may know, released a video of those murders. You might not know the title they gave to that video. Quote, "A message signed in blood to the nations of the cross," end quote. That, believe it or not, includes the United States of America. They view us, regardless of whether they're accurate or not, as a nation of the cross, and we are their enemy. Today, my message is entitled, Radical Disciples, Radical Decisions.
Amen.
And our theme text is from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, commencing with the 38th verse. So if you're the kind of person that likes to get up your Bible, you can do it now. If you're not, you don't. 9th chapter of Mark, chapter 9, verse 38. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw a man casting out demons in your name, but we forbade him because he was not following us." Now, apparently, the disciples of Jesus were a bit upset. Well, at least John was. And it appears that he's not so much upset that this man was a pretender. In other words, he doesn't seem to be complaining that the man's pretending to be a believer. Rather, he's complaining that the man is acting like an apostolic representative when he's not part of the apostolic leadership. And he wants Jesus to make him stop. Now, I say that because here's what I believe. Unless this unknown, unnamed man were not a follower of Jesus to some measure and manner, I don't believe it would have been possible for him to be casting out demons in Jesus' name. The reason I say that is because there's an incident in the Bible elsewhere where other people who were not followers of Jesus attempted to cast out demons in his name and were not very successful. In fact, you may remember, it did not end well with them. The demons did not honor them, did not recognize them, and attacked them, and they ran out naked. You know what that word means, right? That Southern talk for no clothes, right? They got beaten up. So I'm figuring, hey, we're being taught something here. Apparently, even demons can tell Christians from non-Christians. Think about that. Apparently, even demonic spirits know a real believer when they see one. So I guess being a Christian is sort of like being pregnant. Or being married. Or being dead. Either you are or you aren't. Right. So apparently this guy, Ard, he was. He was something because apparently the demons recognized he had some anointing. And he had authority to cast them out. So here's the good news. If we're believers in Jesus, we have anointing and authority to cast them out. Amen? Amen? And they have to recognize it. So in this measure, he was doing mighty works for Jesus, even though he wasn't following the apostolic band. And I believe that's true for all of us. I believe that the anointing and authority in our lives is for the same thing, to effect the healing of the sick and the deliverance of the captives. And that's just a word of encouragement not to forget who you are. We are people of the cross. And that sign is not a sign of defeat. It's a sign of victory. Amen. Over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to have our enemies. Just like he had his enemies likewise. So, verse 39, Jesus says, "Do not forbid him. For no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon after to speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us." That's it, isn't it? Where Jesus is concerned, there's no middle way. There's no middle ground. There's no middle option. Either we're for him or we're against him. And as you know, if we're not for him by decision, we're against him by default. So I just want to remind you and encourage you that there are still lost souls out there who need to be reached for Christ. And there's nobody else to reach them for Christ except Christians. And it belongs right here with us. Amen? Just to remind you, that's, no matter how hard it gets out there, that's still part of our anointing and authority, is to represent Christ to a lost and a dying world. But back to our radical decisions. The first radical decision we have to make is whether or not we're going to be a disciple at all. Amen. Now, I know that most of us probably have been Christians long enough to think, well, that's not very radical. Why is it so radical just to accept Christ as our Savior and our Lord? Well, let me tell you what. The reason why it's such a radical decision is because it makes such a radical difference. In fact, it is the single most important decision we've ever made in our entire life. And it affects our entire life now and forever. I think that's pretty radical. And so here's my thing to you. If you haven't made that radical decision, you need to get radical about that decision tonight before you leave this place. In other words, we better be serious about God as he's serious about us. Amen? Now, of course, you realize the culture in which we live doesn't like that word radical. They're very radical about not liking the radical word. Because they get nervous around radical Christians, they consider us a little too radical. And here's why. Because in their minds, they have this logical, well, never mind. They think it's logical. Radical then means extremist. Extremist means fanatical, and fanatical means dangerous. So here's the deal for them, okay? To them in the world who think this way, radical Christianity, radical Christians are as dangerous a person as Islamist extremists. No, I'm not joking. They are as afraid of us as they are of them. Which we go like, you've got to be kidding me. Because Islamic extremists cut people's heads off. Christian radicals heal sick people and cast out demons. But the world can't tell the difference. Too much religion is not a good thing to them. So what do they want us to be? As long as we keep our religion to ourselves, they'll leave us alone. And haven't you felt the pressure? As long as we keep our beliefs to ourselves, we'll get along just fine. Because as far as they're concerned, a little religion is just fine. Too much religion gets in their way. Now, before you think too critically about that, I want to tell you they're onto something. What is it that they're onto? They realize that radical Christianity really is threatening to them.
Amen. Yes, it is.
Think about that.
Yes, it is.
Serious, true, radical Christianity, is it not a threat to sin?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Is it not a threat to pride?
Yes, it is.
Is it not a threat to rebellion?
Amen.
Materialism, injustice, immorality? The list goes on, right? So you know what? They better be scared. Because God's after them. Right? You see, the truth of God's word is threatening to those who aren't following God's word. Are you listening to me? This is what you need to understand. Because sometimes we take those things personally. Now, a little side trip. If we act like jerks, it is personal. Okay? I've known Christians who ought to be persecuted for jerksness' sakes. Okay, you know, you get what I mean? But if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, we should count it all joy. And here's why I believe many unbelievers are threatened by us and are disturbed by us. It challenges them. It confronts them, and it convicts them that they're not right with God.
Amen.
I believe that's why Jesus had so many enemies. Because he was never a jerk, and he still got crucified.
Amen.
Are you with me? Okay. I believe that's why they hated him. Because he threatened them. And as followers of Jesus, we can expect the same kind of treatment from the same kind of people.
Amen.
That's the price we have to be willing to pay to be a radical disciple of a radical Lord. Amen?
Amen. Okay.
And that radical Lord, let me tell you, sometimes expects us to make radical decisions about our radical Lord.
Yes, he does. Amen.
So he continues. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus does here. The whole encounter and conversation started about a man out there. Then Jesus turns the spotlight on the men in here. Are you with me? He says, let's not talk about that guy. Let's talk about you guys. And here's what he says in verse 43. If your hand causes you to sin, you read it before. Oh, you're reading it now. I thought you were talking to the Pope. No? Okay. Cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go to hell in the unquenchable fire. Oh, he kept the heat on, pun intended. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, anybody getting nervous yet? Pluck it out. It is better to enter the kingdom of God with one eye then with two eyes to be thrown into hell, and then he turns the screw, where their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. I told you it wasn't necessarily a comfortable word, right? Now, of course, here's what we have to ask ourselves. Did Jesus really mean what he said in 70 meant? Of course, everybody's afraid to say yes, because he said a hard thing, didn't he? The question is, do we have to amputate the parts of our bodies that lead us into sin? I don't see anybody so maimed. So either we're not sinners, or we're hoping this word means something else. I'll bet I know which of the two it is. Right? Okay. Well, hopefully, I believe that since Jesus was speaking, it was truthfully, but we're hoping he was speaking figuratively.
Amen.
Aren't we all going, Lord, please don't be literal. Let's be figurative. Well, here's the good news. Since as far as we know, the apostles did not die with amputated limbs, they knew what he was talking about. Are you with me? That's the good news. Obviously, they understood that as he challenged them with this radical word, that he was speaking in the kind of figurative speech we call hyperbole. Anybody know what it is? It's exaggerating deliberately in order to make a point, like, I'm so hungry, I could eat a horse. Or, I'm so mad, I could spit nails. Or, if I've told you once, I've told you a million times. Don't exaggerate. Okay, well, what's happening? Well, you see, we're speaking the truth, aren't we? We're not lying. We're speaking the truth, but we're doing so in an exaggerated manner in order to make a serious point. I'm really hungry. I'm really mad. I'm really tired of telling you the same thing over and over and over again. So if that's true, then what's Jesus trying to tell us over and over and over again? Well, I think it's perfectly clear. Do whatever it takes. Pay whatever price it costs. Sacrifice whatever is necessary to stay out of hell and go into the fullness of the kingdom of God, because in the end, it's worth it. I think that's the word. So, what does that mean for us? It means sometimes, if we're going to keep following Christ as radical disciples, we have to do radical surgery. What kind of radical surgery? Well, let me put it this way. There may be times in our lives where if we're to keep following the Lord in the fullness of his kingdom call upon our life, some things in our life have to go.
Amen. Yes, they do.
Some people have to go.
Yes, they do. Amen.
Some activities have to go.
Amen. Yes, they do.
Some behavior has to go. Some thoughts have to go. You get it?
Amen.
Don't worry about your leg. Worry about your heart. In other words, you can't play around with them. They can't be tempered. They can't be tampered. They have to be cut out and cut off ruthlessly like an amputation.
Okay?
Otherwise, what? They're going to keep us back from following the radical Lord in a radical way. Amen? Okay. That then is the cost of radical discipleship. But here's the tragedy. People don't want to hear this word. They want to hear about what God's going to do for them rather than that we're supposed to do for God.
Amen.
Oh, I don't want to hear what I'm supposed to give up for God. I want to know how God's going to bless me.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? Now, how many of you know God blesses? How many know that if we're in the kingdom, God gives us much more than we deserve?
Amen.
There's provision and protection. There's healing and deliverance. There's salvation and peace. There's joy and holiness. There's blessings in life. Yea, there's life abundantly and life eternally. Can't get much better than that. But he's reminding them here that there's a price to pay if we want all that wonderful stuff. Such radical blessings require radical commitment. Are you with me?
Okay.
But here's the deal about that radical commitment. In fact, I didn't know the lesson was going to be read tonight. Something about taking up our cross and following him. I was thinking as I said that, why? How to get people to come to your church? Yeah, our slogan, cross-bearing church. They'll flock here. We're having a confirmation tonight. Everybody come and sign up. Die. Sacrifice. Cut off your heart. You know, it's like, whoa. So what's Jesus doing in all this? He's just letting people know that's part of the kingdom. That's part of following him. There's always a price to pay.
Okay?
And the price that we pay is not just by intention. It's by action. You see, it's easy. Easy to say we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Just as easy it is for a man to say he loves his wife. But here's the deal. If he never spends time with her, his work always takes him away from her. If his friends constantly draw his attention and his affection and all this kind of stuff, what doesn't matter what he says with his lips. I'll tell you what his wife will say. All the wives are going, what, right? I mean, talk is cheap when it's not followed up with action. So our challenge at such a time as this is we got to put our money where our mouth is, so to speak. Our lips and our lives have to line up. Radical words, radical actions. So that Jesus is really the Lord of our life. And we've made all the decisions we have to, radical though they may be, in order to keep him there, not just intentionally, but deliberately. Because here's what I think Jesus was telling these men. He was telling them that he's not interested in a crowd of casual followers. He's interested in a cadre of committed disciples. Amen. So I think every once in a while, he just dropped little bombs like this to see who'd stick around. Amen. I really think that's true. I know a couple of times, we just won't get into them, but a couple of times, Jesus just drops these big boom. It's like, oh boy, who's going to stay to church? And who's going down the church down the street? So the question that we talk tonight and ponder tonight is, are you a radical disciple of a radical Lord? And if so, where are you in your radical life? You see, everybody wants of our time, talent, and treasure. And life pulls us in many, many, many directions. So we have to set our priorities. And if necessary, we have to cut things out so that Jesus can be first. Radical disciples make radical changes. Are you willing to make such a radical change to follow a radical Lord? Because here's the good news. We can't outgive God. Amen. No matter what we let go, he'll give us much, much more in return. Now, that was my sales pitch for the confirmands. If they're still in the room, we're having a confirmation. Because for them and for us, we need to know what we're about at such a time as this. We're facing an enormous challenge in our culture to stand faithfully for Christ. They're going to come up here in a moment and they're going to make a covenant commitment to stand with us for Christ at such a time as this, no matter what the cost. And here's the deal. One day, for some of us, maybe not in this room, but just generally some of us, it may be the price of our life. Amen. We may be called to be a martyr in the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you what, if we're not willing to give up a little thing for Christ, we'll never be able to face the big things for Christ. One of the things that inspires me about the kind of men that I talked about earlier is the grace, the courage, and the fortitude they exhibited at such a time as that. May we have the grace, fortitude to stand up for Christ at whatever measure and level that we have to against this onslaught against the gospel. So again, our confirmands are saying, we're on. We're standing with you and covenanting with you at such a time as this. Amen. And I think that's a good thing. Yes, amen? And we're going to support them in it. So if they'll get ready, lock the door. I'll get ready.